Tenacity.
Open a business Evolve account at absa.co.za today. Absa is an authorized FSP and a registered credit provider. T's and C's apply.
Breaking down business like no other. Power Business with Spesos Kanjana on Power 98.7.
It is 49 minutes after 6 o'clock, Power Listener. And of course, as I did say, that one of the other conversations that we're looking to have at this point is a conversation with Altron, or on the back of the Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index, and what that number looks like, or what the readings, the high-level readings are looking like for Q2. And so we are joined online by Dr. Rolf Botha, who is an economist and author of the index, to help us what the number has come out looking like, and maybe some insights as well that we can pull on the back end of the Power Listener. Dr. Rolf, how are you, sir?
Fighting yourself.
I'm great, thank you very much. And yeah, just getting right into it. Maybe for anyone who may not have followed previous conversations we have had around the Altron Household Resilience Index, high level, what the index is about, what it's trying to answer, etc.
Yes, Altron FinTech is involved in the supply chain very heavily of the regulated micro-lending industry. And I think it's very important for the listeners to just remember that there is a huge distinction that needs to be made between the regulated micro-lenders and the so-called loan sharks, which I don't think we need even to talk about, because that's just illegal. The regulated micro-lenders, on the other hand, play an incredibly important role in an economy like ours, which is still developing in many respects and which has a huge informal sector, because many, literally thousands of small businesses in this country will not get credit from the formal banking sector. And if, for instance, a small builder's bucky has a big problem with the engine and he can't meet his obligations with his contract for building, he stands to lose a small fortune. And more often than not, you can get assistance, 10 grand, 15 grand loan from a regulated micro lender, and it's regulated. In India and Bangladesh, countries like that, like those, this sector of the banking sector, or this component, is held in incredibly high esteem. Some of those small businesses, they've got an app which has been developed and assisted with by their government, where they can order inventory. If they have a good track record, obviously, with turnover of inventories. So an Altron FinTech wants to know what's happening, with households' financial resilience. Are they capable of incurring debt in such a way that they can actually repay it? And that's where the index came from.
Sure. And high-level readings coming out of that?
Well, it's negative year-on-year, minus 1.3%, which is nothing to be terribly excited about. The main reason for that is that the big guns, the 20 different indicators we've got, the four with the largest weighting in this composite index, are the salaries in the public sector, the salaries of the private sector, and also employment in government and in the private sector. And whereas the employment figures are looking very good, it still hasn't transpired through to the salaries. I think there are two reasons for that. In the first place, people are prepared to work for less after the fear of COVID is still with them. They prefer to cling on to their work rather than their jobs, rather than ask for more money. The 400,000 formal sector jobs that were created in the second quarter, we believe that in the third quarter, Altron FinTech Index, this will start coming through a little bit. And under the circumstances, with the Reserve Bank being the enemy of the economy, as far as I'm concerned, with these interest rate increases, which are totally unnecessary as far as I'm concerned. It's not going to bring down the shipping costs, by the way, or get the Saudis to pump more oil. I don't know where they get that causality from. But in any event, the index hasn't done too badly. We don't expect great shakes in the third quarter. And of course, these people that have found jobs in the first half of this year, they will get 13th checks or pro rata 13th checks in December. So we expect the fourth quarter to be a relatively good one. And with a bit of luck, after the December ANC presidential elections, there'll be more certainty about economic policy next year, a lot of public-private partnerships, and I like to believe that our economy will build up steam with better economic policy next year.
Sure. And I mean, I think you guys are observing about what just north of what 20 indicators. And at this point in time, only two indicators of that 20 recorded materially negative outcomes. Maybe give us, you know, on the two extremes, which of the indicators kind of, you know, really started to show good resilience as well on the downside. And then some of the pressure points we saw as well on some of the indicators that you guys are studying here.
Yes, well, as far as the asset side is concerned, most of our indicators are related to income or some ratio of income to debt or debt cost, etc. But there are a couple that are related to asset value. And why that's important in the index is that the holding of assets of wealth, could obviously, you can earn dividends, you can earn rent if you have a property that you're renting out, etc. And at 2014, the unit trust assets increased by 34%. Also, the FNB house price index up by 61% since 2014. And then also the household disposal income, I think that's a shining light. I mean, that's up 16% since 2014. And it's one of the only ones.
Is that in real or nominal terms, Rudolf?
That's in real terms.
Okay, sure.
Every one of our indicators is expressed after we deflated by the CPI.
Okay. And you're using 2014 as your constant prices indexing point.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
So it's actually relatively good news. We've also seen of late year on year that the credit impairment by banks. We use the reciprocal because all the indicators must move in the same direction. And that's also improved, which means that the banks are writing, their bad debts have declined. That comes obviously off a high base because of COVID. COVID was not nice. I think the listeners are just pretty glad that that's behind us. A little bit of inflation is better than lockdown.
I'll definitely take inflation over lockdown as well. And just maybe on some of the points that were coming out of the reading, I think what an interesting one is, and I think you partially leaned into it, Prof, but I certainly do want to get into that particular one, is around the performance of the index generally lacking kind of economic performance. What are the things that I guess on the one side we're starting to see this mostly probably as a lagging indicator, and if then it does underperform in terms of the rate of growth of GDPs, etc., for a lay ear, what would they need to read in between those lines as some of the drivers for that?
Well, I think the bottom line is we need to create more jobs. Private sector employment has increased 3.7% year on year, but since before COVID, 2019, the first quarter of 2019, it's still down by 5.2%, and that is a huge concern. What happened, of course, is that towards the end of the state capture era, end of 2017, many businesses and consumers had lost a lot of faith in the economy. We started seeing a terrible decay of the infrastructure. The load shedding, that's where it started. We're paying the price for that now.
Just on that point, I mean, so simply just to make sure that I'm processing correctly, you're saying the extent to which we see jobless growth will by design inform how this kind of indicator will always lag economic output, because you're seeing some output gains that are growing at a slower rate than what would contribute to disposable incomes at a household level, and therefore this kind of index will by design lag economic growth numbers as long as we continue to see a pervasive jobless growth. And therefore, even if you date it back to 2009 all the way to today, this would be consistent.
To some extent, yes, but it is influenced by economic policy. And I think it's so important for the listeners to understand that the reason why Venezuela and Zimbabwe became failed states is not because of a lack of resources. It's because of the wrong policies, nationalization. And what we had in South Africa during the Zupta era is fortunately no nationalization, but we had really useless economic policy and a decay, you know, not enough spend on infrastructure. There was a period in South Africa's history, I think you remember it well, between 2005 and 2009. I remember it well because I won the Economist of the Year award in that period because we grew at 5% per annum, and I'm the most optimistic economy in the country. But you know what? We built 3 million RDP houses. construction is more labor-intensive than agriculture. And, during the Zuma era, the RDP program just ground to a standstill, apart from, you know, just ending for 7 years, stopping the renewable energy program. The damage that was done in that decade, we're still counting the cost. So if they can just resuscitate the RDP housing program and start working with...